Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Imagine that someone spent a lifetime building a business. He always made the right decisions, never made a mistake, and in doing so became a billionaire. Now, what good would that do you or me? The answer is absolutely none, unless we can find out how he was successful, and unless we are willing to follow that same pattern. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But what good does that do us? Well, we benefit from it in a couple of ways, and that's our topic today. A few weeks ago, we began a brand new study of the life of Jesus the Christ. We began by looking at the fact that He existed even before He came to this earth. That's one of the identifying marks of being God, that of eternal existence. We then noticed the fact that Jesus was born onto this earth, not the same way that we were born onto it, but rather He was born of a virgin, the virgin named Mary. And last week we looked at a very important day in His life, the day that He was baptized, the day that He was immersed in the Jordan River by John in order to fulfill all righteousness. Now this week we pick up with the events of His life that immediately followed His baptism. We entitled this particular lesson, The Temptations of Jesus the Christ. Now, of course, these are not all of the temptations that Jesus went through, but we have on this particular occasion three different temptations that Satan brought before Him. What we'd like to do today is look at the temptations that were placed before Jesus, and more importantly, look at how He dealt with them. As we mentioned in our opening comments, the fact that a man runs a business successfully is good for him, but we do not really profit from that unless we can understand how he did it, and we can implement those same principles in our lives. Well, the fact that Jesus withstood the temptation does benefit us directly, for by withstanding the temptation and going to the cross as the sinless sacrifice, he purchased for all those who are obedient to him eternal salvation. But we can benefit from it in another way. We can benefit by seeing how he overcame those temptations, and by putting into practice those same principles that he used to overcome temptation, we also can overcome temptation. We need to see, first of all, as we examine this particular passage, and we take our study today from Matthew chapter 4, the very first 11 verses. These temptations are included in other passages as well, but we will remain in this text for most of the study. We find when we look at this that Jesus endured temptations at great cost to himself. It's important for us to realize that the tempter is real. We find in this particular account, Matthew chapter 4, that the devil spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke to the devil. That Satan came to him in verse 3, and then we find in verse 11 that Satan left him. We're not talking about some imaginary character. Satan is real. The tempter was real on this particular occasion. This was not a figment of our Lord's imagination. We are warned in 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 8, to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to remember that the devil is real, and that he does want us, not for our good, but rather for our destruction. It is his desire to destroy us, for that is his nature, that of destruction. We also need to realize that the vulnerability that Jesus had at this time was also real. His weaknesses were real. He was hungry. Verse 2 tells us such. He had fasted for 40 days, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 2. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they ended, he was hungry. Now, some have tried to minimize the effect of the fast by saying after a period of time you lose your taste for food and your appetite diminishes. But the Bible tells us very clearly Jesus was hungry. 40 days without food also would have brought on a physical weakness. Now, Jesus was weak at this point physically, but just because he was weak physically did not mean he had to be weak spiritually, and he wasn't. This means that we also many times might be weakened physically, but that does not mean that our resolve has to weaken. That does not mean that we should become spiritually weakened. We should follow his example and remain strong. It's important for us to realize that the tempter was real and that Jesus' vulnerabilities were real, and that made the temptations real. We find in verse 3 that he was tempted to turn stones into bread. For a long time, I struggled with this particular temptation. It was not wrong for Jesus to use His miraculous power. It was not wrong for Jesus to use His miraculous power to create food, for He does so in the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000 later in His ministry. It would not be wrong for Jesus to use His miraculous power in order to demonstrate that He was Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, for He does so on a number of occasions. And at least in one sense, according to the book of John, chapter 20, all of the miracles that Jesus performed were for the purpose of creating faith within us, and that through that faith in Him we might be saved. So what exactly is the temptation that's being placed before Christ on this particular occasion? Well, the answer comes to us in understanding that Jesus, coming out of the waters of baptism, was at that point anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. We find this according to Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38. And that Satan here is tempting Him to use these powers, to use them for His own benefit. Never in the Bible do we at any time find one using the power of God, the miraculous power of God, to benefit himself. Rather, always when the miraculous power of God was used, it was used for some much greater and higher purpose than simply to benefit oneself or satisfy one's own hunger. Here He is tempting Jesus to take a shortcut. Do not live your life here on this earth and suffer all of the things that are before you and finally go to the cross and die there. And you don't have to go through all of that to demonstrate that you are the Messiah. Instead, just turn these stones into bread, and that will be demonstration enough. And that is the temptation that was placed before Him. Jesus, of course, refused this temptation and did not fall to it. We find then in verse 5 of our text, Matthew chapter 4, that the second temptation that came His way was to throw Himself from the pinnacle of the temple. Because, and Satan here even quotes Scripture to our Lord, he tells Him that it has been written that if you will do this, even if you were just to stub your toe and to fall, that there would be angels to bear you up and to protect you. So if you're the Son of God, cast yourself off. It's very interesting to me that this means that Bible Scripture, even when quoted accurately, can be misapplied. It's possible for a person to take the words of truth and to apply them in such a way that turns them into a lie. Satan did just that on this particular occasion. Jesus, however, demonstrates the proper use of Scripture, for He quotes to him that, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We need to understand from this that it's important that we approach the Scriptures honestly, that we approach the Scriptures taking only from them what God has actually put in them. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul admonishes, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth." It's important that we treat the Scriptures as the holy Scriptures, the words of God, that we have no right to manipulate and to mangle to our own destruction. We need to be sure that when we approach the Scriptures, we do so understanding that they are the words of God and that we would never do anything dishonest with them. The third temptation, then, is found in verses 8 and 9 of this same chapter. Here, the Satan shows Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and promises to give Him those kingdoms if He will only fall down and worship Him. This appeals, of course, to what Jesus could see and to His pride, His own desire to have these things. This, again, was a shortcut to His being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could escape the crucifixion and all of that pain and have all of these kingdoms. We need to understand that there are no shortcuts to doing things the right way. When God has established what He wants done, that is the way it must be done and the only way it can be done and be pleasing to Him. Jesus did not accept any kind of a shortcut. To do so would have been sin. Neither should we. These were not the only temptations that Jesus endured in His lifetime. We find in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 that when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This means that Satan came back to him at some point. Now, we don't have further temptations recorded for us as such. We might read the text in other places and say, that appears to have been a temptation to him, or he probably would have been tempted, but the Bible doesn't clearly demonstrate that that other things were temptations. However, we know here that Satan did returned at an opportune time, maybe some other time when he would be weak and maybe he would fall. But Jesus, we know, did not fall and did not succumb to these temptations. How does his overcoming the temptations benefit me? Well, he gives an example to me that shows me that I can resist the devil and shows me how. In each case, when Satan came to him tempting him with something, he answered with the words of God. He answered with Scripture. It is written. This teaches me that I must know the truth, that I must properly apply the truth, and I must be ready to have it there. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, are the words of the psalmist. It also means that Jesus' experiences with temptation qualifies him to help me through temptations. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, it says to us that he is a merciful and faithful high priest. He made propitiation for our sins, and that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Because he suffered temptations and overcame, he can help me when I am tempted. And finally, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it makes him qualified to be my sin offering. Jesus was tempted, and the temptations were real, but he overcame. You and I can and must do the same. It is so vital that we know what God's Word says. As we learned today, Jesus did overcome temptation, but he overcame temptation with the Word of God. If we don't have the knowledge of God's Word to help us through those times, then we will very likely fall to what Satan throws in our path.